Let's pray before we get started. Heavenly Father, we commit this time to you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for its power, its clarity. We thank you for how you speak to us through it. We thank you for your spirit that applies your word to our hearts. And we pray now, Lord, that you would do that. We pray that in my heart and in each heart here, that you would speak, that you prepare our hearts. And you help us to understand your word, Lord. Help me to be clear. Take away anything that's not from your word. And Lord, apply your word to our hearts. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So the eagle-eyed amongst you who know our family might have spotted that even though all the boys and I are here, Kate's not here. And contrary to whatever anyone might think, it's not because she's too embarrassed, even though she might have good reason to be. So she's gone down to see a new nephew that we had born last weekend and would have been back tonight, but her flight was cancelled on the way back, so she was stranded. But I only share that because we were talking about praising God this morning, and it was a great time of praise this afternoon because we had this terrible news that the flight had been cancelled and she couldn't necessarily get back, and then trying to work out different plans. And I'd made some suggestions. She was doing some investigating, so we're praying at this end that she'd be able to get back straightforwardly. And then got this text saying, I'm sharing a hire car with two teachers from Chester, driving back with them. And one of the teachers used to work in Bluecoat and knows Kirsty Coltart. So it was just amazing, really good. So they're driving back at the moment, so I'd appreciate your prayers for them that she would get back safely. So tonight we're talking about perseverance. We've been going through a whole series of different topics, looking at various topics each week in the evenings, and tonight we're talking about perseverance, or often talked about as perseverance of the saints. And when I was thinking about this and thinking about preparing, I was here a few Sunday mornings ago, and thinking, I wonder if I should start by asking for a show of hands for who's ever doubted whether they're still a Christian? Who's ever had that time when they've wondered, am I still a Christian? Is it really all real? Am I going to keep going till the end or not? And then I realized I was preaching in the evening, and it's probably all the keynotes that have come out twice in one day. So I might be the only one there with my hand in the air. But actually, my guess is probably there's several, if not most, if not all people in this room have had doubts. You've gone through the ups and downs of the Christian life, and at times you've thought, oh, I just don't know, or you feel far from God. And if you're one of those people tonight, this is a great sermon for you. And it's really spoken to me while I've been preparing it. It's been so helpful to me. So Hannah read to us a good chunk of Romans 8. And I'm not going to go through the whole of that and preach from it specifically. I'm going to pull in different texts because there's lots of different texts that talk to us about perseverance. And I tried to make it nice and easy for you by putting a lot of the texts on the screen so that you wouldn't have to go flying about through the Bible and you could just really think about it. Not quite registering just how small they would be on the screen. So as we go through, you'll see these little tiny pieces of text. And what I'll tell you what the texts are, so you don't need to worry about that. But they're there in case you want to refer to them. But really, the one thing, if you remember nothing else from tonight, remember the one thing that each and every day come to Jesus. So that's what it's all about. If we're trusting in Jesus, we persevere to the end, and we're sustained by him, and he gives us the ability to persevere. That's the only thing you need to remember from tonight. Come to Jesus. So, what is perseverance? What do we mean when we're talking about perseverance or perseverance of the saints? Well, we're not talking about saints in the sense of, we were on holiday recently in Croatia, we're in this little village, and there was this procession that went on one evening. We were sat by the harbour. There was this big procession where they were carrying a statue of a saint, and they were taking it from the church in the village up to the church on the hill, and it was a big event that happens every single year, and they're venerating this saint That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about particular individuals that are granted sainthood somehow. We're talking about each and every one of us who's trusted in Jesus. We are saints, and we persevere. We will persevere, and God has promised that we will persevere. What does perseverance mean? So the definition of perseverance, if you go to the dictionary, is that it's a continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties or failure or opposition, the action or condition or an instance of persevering. So if you've gone through something really difficult, maybe somebody you know has run a marathon or a half marathon, and you talk about them as having persevered to the end, they've struggled on and they've got all the way to the end, they've persevered to the end. Or somebody's doing an exam and it was really difficult and they've persevered, they've got through it to the end, or gone through the revision, persevered. Biblically, when we talk about perseverance, it's that, but it's a bit more, and it's slightly different as well. So perseverance has this sense of continuing to the end, but being preserved as well by God and by Christ. And we're going to look at those two elements tonight, the element of God's almost preservation of the saints, our perseverance, our role in that. And then what does that mean for people who backslide? And what does it mean for me? How can I know that I'm a Christian? How can I know that I am going to persevere? So, first of all, perseverance, it's all of God. It's his gift. And here's this text behind me that you can all not read at all. But in Romans 8, one of the key verses is, "And those whom he predestined, he also called. Those whom he called, he also justified. Those whom he justified, he also glorified." And that whole section that Hannah read for us is really talking about that. It's talking about the fact that we've been adopted into God's family that Mark talked to us about a few weeks ago. It's talking about the fact that we've been called by God. We were dead in our sins. We didn't get up one day and think, "I'm dead, I'm going to God." God called us. He drew us. He gave us life so that we could respond. He justified us. He made us right with him. And he glorified us. He brought us into glory. And the key thing to note about that is that he glorified us. It doesn't say he will glorify us at some point in the future. When we get to heaven, we will be glorified. He glorified us. From God's perspective, it's done. It's finished. There's no questions about it. There's no doubt about it. We have been glorified with him. We will be glorified. We will persevere. And that's why one of the key verses that helps us to understand why our faith is really secure. Another verse from 1 Peter, or series of verses from 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 4 to 7. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Who by God's power are being guarded through faith. Ephesians 2, verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God." So it's faith, but it's the gift of God. Romans 8, 33, 34, we read earlier, "It's God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Jesus, Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us." So Jesus is doing this work of interceding with us. And he is the one, God is the one, who justifies us. And these verses remind us that although our salvation is linked to our faith is a critical part of our salvation. It's God that gives us faith. Philippians 1, verse 6. "He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion." Isn't that great? He who began a good work in you, in me, will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Romans 8 verse 35. And then on to verse 38. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, when we realize that our salvation is not about what we've done, it's about what God's done, that's what gives us the confidence to know that we will be sustained and that we will persevere. God doesn't change. God adopted us into his family. He called us. He doesn't change. Malachi 3:6 says, I, the Lord, do not change. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. There's no change in God. He's called you. He's adopted you into his family. He's the perfect God. Mark talked to us about this, that he's the perfect father. He adopted us into his family. He's not going to suddenly unadopt us. So all of these things are amazing truths that all work together and reinforce the fact that true believers, all true believers, will persevere to the end. This whole idea of once saved, always saved. And that should make us really excited and praising God, like we talked about this morning. It's another thing that we should be thankful for and praise God for. But that's not the whole story. That's the foundational piece of the story, but it's not the whole story. So what about our responsibility in this? Where do we fit in? Is it all completely about God? Do we just go along for the ride? How does it work? What's our responsibility? There's a whole series of verses through the New Testament that talk about how we have to work at our salvation, how we have to persevere. And as you read some of these verses, it's almost as though we can lose our salvation. So listen to some of these. He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel you heard. That's Colossians 1 verses 22 and 23. The gospel I preach to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preach to you, so if you hold fast to the word, unless you believed in vain, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2. 2 Timothy 2:12, if we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Mark 13:13, and you'll be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Again, Romans 8, 13. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. He's talking to believers here. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. We are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs of Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. It's Romans 8:17. And then John 8:31. We are children of God, and if children, then heirs with God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified. So there's a whole set of verses there that give conditions, that give commands to us about working out our salvation. So that's serious stuff, because the Bible's saying that if I don't work out my salvation, if I don't persevere, if I don't endure, then I won't be saved. So how can we balance off? How can we reconcile these two truths that we've talked about that seem so clearly taught in so many verses across the Bible of what God does and our responsibility. How can we balance that off? So, first thing to notice is any time that Paul or Jesus or anyone else in the Bible give these warnings, almost invariably, they're matched off or paired up with a reminder of what Jesus has done for us, what God has done for us in salvation. So many of the verses that we looked at earlier on are paired off with those same verses that talk about working out our salvation. So in Romans 8, Paul goes on to remind us, it's God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Or by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them. This is Paul talking in 1 Corinthians 15. So I worked harder than any of them. But it wasn't I, it was the grace of God that is with me. So Paul is balancing off these two things. He's saying, I worked at my salvation, but it wasn't actually me. It was the grace of God in me. So the key is those verses that we looked at earlier on, the verse in that I talked about right at the start in Romans 8, about being called, justified, and glorified. So Jesus says in John 8, he talks about no one snatching us out of his hand. And it's this sense that's always there in balance of we need to work out our salvation, we need to strive. We're told very clearly that if we persist in sin, if we harden our hearts to God, if we turn away from Jesus, then the only thing that awaits us is hell. That's really clear through Scripture. But the amazing truth is that every single day we can turn to Jesus. We can come to him. If we've got any doubts at all over our salvation, we can come to him and say, Jesus, take me as I am. Lord, I fail in working out my salvation. I don't do the things that I should do. I don't love you as I should. I feel like I'm failing. I feel like I'm drifting far from you. Come to Jesus. Tell him about it. And he will hold you and will ensure that you persevere right to the end. So the Bible teaches that because we're secure in Christ, we won't make a shipwreck of our faith. We won't fail ultimately. But what does that mean for people who've fallen away? People who've not, maybe not just, you know, briefly sinned and repented, but people who seem to have really badly backslidden and turned away from Jesus and seem to have really hardened their heart to him. Well, there are examples of that in the Bible. And thank God there are examples where people turned away, seem to have completely turned away, and yet came back to Christ and were fully reconciled, fully made right again with him. So the two sort of very obvious examples that come to mind are David in the Old Testament, Peter in the New Testament. So we've got David, who effectively had the husband of his lover murdered, arranged for to have him murdered. You've got Peter, who turned away from Christ, despite being warned by Jesus that he was going to do it and insisting that he wouldn't. He denied Christ. He said, no, I don't know him. And this is someone who'd known Jesus, spent time with him, and yet fell away. But Jesus says, when Jesus spoke to Simon Peter, Luke 24, verse 31, we see, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. So Jesus was saying to Peter, you're going to fall. And he did, didn't he? His faith was really challenged. He turned away from Jesus. But it was temporary. It wasn't permanent. And Jesus was the one who was praying for him and who kept him and who ensured that his salvation was permanent, that he didn't turn away from God permanently. And the amazing thing is that Jesus prays exactly the same thing for us. In John 17, he prays, John 17, verse 11, "Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you've given me. I've guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, except the son of destruction, that the scripture may be fulfilled. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." So Jesus has prayed for us that we too would be kept. So he doesn't pray that we would never experience any difficulties. He doesn't pray that we'd never have any doubts, that we'd never question, that we'd never fall or sin. But he prays that God would keep us. And this is Jesus praying. It's a perfect prayer. It's not like prayers we're not sure, maybe should we be praying right for this or not. This is Jesus praying for us. But we can't be complacent, can we? We can't continue in sin. So if you're here tonight and you're a Christian, but you're living in a way that is persistent sin and you're hardening your heart to God, don't continue in that way. Turn back to him. Repent of the way that you're going and turn back to Jesus. He stands there with open arms, calling you to him in exactly the same way as he did the first time that you came to him. But you've got to come to him and give it all. Give your sin to him. Give everything to him. So what does that mean for you and for me? I find myself, as I'm listening to or reading some of the stuff on perseverance, I'll be listening to a sermon, and I'm waiting for, how can I really know, though, that I'm saved? What does that mean? If I'm reading all these or hearing all these things about, if I don't work out my salvation, I might fall away. What does that mean? How can I really know that I am saved and I'm part adopted into God's family? So it's easy, isn't it, for us to feel like because we fail and we do things wrong that we're not in that position. But the best verse I can take you to is one of our previous motto verses. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Doing what? Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, or finisher of our faith. So we've got to run with endurance, but we do it looking unto Jesus, who is the one who started our faith, who gave us faith, and he's the one who finishes our faith. It's all him. It's not us. As soon as we start looking at ourselves, the way that we fail, we get things wrong, we'll feel further and further away from God, because we're sinners. We're not perfect. We're not holy. We're not Jesus. So the more we look at ourselves, the further and further away we get from God. We've got to look unto Jesus. And it's by looking unto him and being sustained by him that we can have that assurance and that confidence in our faith. So don't rely on your perseverance. Persevere, but don't rely on your perseverance. The reason that we persevere is because of what Jesus has done for us. And it's when we recognize that and we take it to heart and we come to him and he transforms our heart and our life. And it's because of that that we're given the power and the strength to endure and to persevere. So turn to him. Come to him. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So again, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith and my faith. We're going to sing a song in closing, and it's a song that reminds us about that. Alleluia, praise God. All I have is Christ.